thank you. So I am Jenna Grauer-Gray, and I'm presenting today on what we're calling SHORDAP, which stands for Soil Horizon Delineation and Purity. So to start with our question, we have some very variable profiles with horizons that can be rather gradual. Where do we put the horizon boundary? Are these separate horizons, and how can we make this repeatable or objective? So our goal is to objectively delineate the soil horizons. A second question is the purity or homogeneity of the horizons. You can see that this horizon, well, you saw that that horizon had some variability in it. So let's move on to the objectives. We want to automate the horizon delineation, and to do that, we're testing automation in two contrasting profiles. Evaluate the horizon purity, which I just touched upon, and compare these SHORDAP horizons with field-delineated horizons. Here's a methodology. We have the usual PEDON in the field description, but then we have our PEDON imaging. We have some pre-processing. Wendy fortunately already went over that because I'm not going to. And then we delineate the horizons, calculate the purity of the horizons we've delineated, and then we can go back, change some parameters, redelineate, etc. Then finally, we compare the SHORDAP horizons with the field horizons, and we can make changes or add on to the field description based on that evaluation. And we did all the image analysis in MATLAB. So here's our images. We have an entosol from the central sands of Wisconsin and an alfasol from the driftless area. After pre-processing, we got these images that we are using for image analysis. Here's our field delineated horizons. You can see we call these contrasting profiles. The entosol is fairly homogeneous, well mixed. The alfasol has a lot more variety, especially in that 2BW horizon. Another thing to note is this field delineated horizon, just looking at it visually, appears to be above the boundary. And that just goes back to our problems with delineating in the field, our limitations, where we have like a 20 centimeters or less width that we look at. We delineate the horizons there. Further along in a different part of the soil profile, while the horizon may be at a different place, in which, as is the case in the entosol. So quickly going through the delineation, we have the image. Do the color channels. I use CLAB color space. The color channels are not uncorrelated, so that's important because we use the free coordinates for k-means clustering in 3D space, and the number of clusters, these dashed lines, represent factors that can go into the user decision that for the number of clusters, one of our parameters. You can look at the image, but you can also look at the color channels, which may show you variation that you don't see in the original image. Here's our results from the entosol. The two clusters, it's fairly homogeneous regions. The free clusters, you have some mixing up here, but interestingly, you also have something going on here. And I'm going too fast somehow, but the third cluster, again, you saw the horizons, the horizon in the middle, or transition zone, which you see again here in the boundaries of the four clusters. You can see that there's really a transition zone that's been found by that clustering. Even with the two and three clusters, you might notice that the boundary kind of seems to go sort of through that transition zone, which is very interesting because we did not observe this in the field. In the field, we observed an abrupt boundary between the two horizons, but with the image, we're seeing that there's something going on in between. Now, with the alpha cell, we use two of the color channels, again, the clustering and the horizon delineation. And then the alpha cell with the free clusters, we got pretty well divided into free regions, quite a bit of mixing of clusters there, but fairly isolated regions. But with the fora, you get more mixture, especially up here in the middle. The top is fairly uniform throughout. And with five, you start to get what was also happening with the entosol. With four clusters, you get a mixture of horizons, but the mixture seems to be mainly contained in one region. So you have the blue and yellow in the middle and the cyan and red in the bottom. And so this is very much work in progress, but one thing we're considering doing at this point is reducing the resolution, which right now is around 100 dpi, resampling to make it lower resolution, which may improve our boundaries here. You can see the four and five clusters have rather crazy looking boundaries. Some of the variation they're picking up is actually there, but some of it may be noise or just very small scale variation that really shouldn't segment the horizons into two. But the free clusters does a pretty good job. It's interesting, this one goes a little below the field delineated, whereas these two are more in line. You can see this curvy boundary here, which brings us right to our description of the cluster boundaries. We describe them in the field. How are we going to describe them in the image? So in the field, there's two measures. There's topography and distinctness, which we'll cover on the next page. We haven't done this quantitatively yet for the alpha cell, but just looking at the image, you can see the entosol is probably pretty smooth or wavy, whereas the alpha cell, you've got a lot of irregular, but you've got some smooth and wavy areas as well. So it's a good starting point, the topography, but we have all this information. We'd like to also somehow communicate the variation of the topography, so maybe quantify it. So we're still working on that, but it has a lot of potential. And then on to the distinctness. This is for the entosol again. Box plots over here show the boundaries of the entosol from the SHORDAP procedure. And with the four clusters, you have the lower and upper because of that transition zone. So you have two boundaries there. So in the field, again, it was a prop boundary. With the SHORDAP, using the interquartile range, we mostly find clear boundaries, one abrupt one. Should we be using the interquartile range? It's a question. If we use the whole range, we get gradual boundaries. Maybe we're still figuring that out, but you can see the box plots nicely show information about what's happening with those boundaries, and we want to keep that information as well as using the currently available distinctness classes. So again, back to our methodology. I've talked a lot about the horizon delineation. Now I want to touch upon the purity. So the purity in the entosol, that was pretty homogeneous. The purity is pretty high, except you get a bit of a drop with the four clusters. It goes down to from 99% to 88%. Still pretty high, but why is the drop? Well, you may remember, we have the transition zone, but it kind of seems to bleed into the bottom horizon. So that adds a bit of that lowers the purity. And so that's just the consideration. Our functional definition of purity is the percent of the dominant clusters in the horizon, so the number of pixels of the dominant cluster or clusters over the total number of pixels. So, of course, the number of clusters is very important in the decision-making of the purity. However, it still still follows the pattern of the entosol being pretty homogeneous, so it still gives you the information that's pretty high purity there. So in conclusion, we've found that image analysis can help with the can be used for the continuously delineating the horizon boundaries, and also we can detect horizons or transitions not observed in the field. Another possibility that we is that we may end up lumping some field horizons using image analysis. We've only done two profiles so far, so still a lot to learn there. We also have the purity, as a, which is a measure of horizon homogeneity. And we found that the show-adapt boundary descriptions have the potential to expand the description of horizon boundary characteristics and complement and perhaps expand the measures already available, the topography and distinctness measures. So thank you all for your attention. Yeah, it was just the visual spectra.
I don't have a digital camera. Is there a potential to capture infrared or any other non-visible spectrum and then because I'm wondering if there are signals there that you might not be picking up, you know, with your own eyes?
Yeah, I have seen papers that that use digital cameras that do infrared imaging as well. So that is a possibility to branch out and get a bit more of the spectra.
So with this idea of purity, I'm concerned that it sounds like what you're saying is that the horizon should be pure. So are you deciding your classes on the basis of purity? Like there should be three because there's higher purity in each of those. So what I'm wondering is if some of this is not real. You know, you showed a few pictures of some crazy looking boundaries, but couldn't that just be by observation?
Purity, we're still working on that idea, but we don't expect the horizons necessarily to be pure. We just find that it's a useful measurement, and we're still working on the loop of the purity, how high purity we want, and how that translates. So we may find some other ways to evaluate as well. It's a start, but still very much a work in progress. Yeah, I mean, neither me nor Alfred remembers seeing it in the field, so. It's definitely, we want it to complement the traditional, because obviously you can't get everything from the image, but you can see things you don't necessarily see in the field, so there's that advantage. I mean, so far we haven't really looked at it as a training tool, but I guess it's been training me, but we haven't got to the point where this is the first time we're really sharing it with other people. But in the future, perhaps there's potential. Some of you probably know better than me about how you could use it for training. Sorry, what part of the office?
The full name. I want to use
that. Oh, the full name? Sure, I'll try to. Oh, sorry. There you go.
Are you sure that the specification is correct?
No, we're not sure. It's what we got from the app, but we're not sure, but it was beyond the scope of my project to try to reclassify it. So
but looking at that photo, it looks like a modern horizon. The human horizon looks modern, and the BT horizon as well. So, like SF, there is second water resulting in that model. So, you cannot expect purity in the horizon if they are modern.
Oh, well, I mean, with the purity for this, it's more, the variation is more in the 2BW, but I've only got preliminary results for the purity here. It's lower than in the Antisol, but the Antisol's very high purity, so it's still like in the 70s, 80s to low 90s, depending on the horizon.
Just